Yeah, Rabbi Say, we're learning here the Sefer Chovis HaTalmidim. Sefer Chovis HaTalmidim is a Sefer written by Rav Kolonimus Kalman from Piasetzna. He was known as the Piasetzna Rebbe, otherwise known as the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. He lived in the ghetto during the very difficult times. Somehow he became more famous by the name Esh Kodesh, the Sefer Esh Kodesh. The Sefer Esh Kodesh, just because of its unique nature, was just a more famous Sefer, even though the Sefer Chovis HaTalmidim is clearly learnt and quoted by many more people than the Sefer Esh Kodesh. Just the Sefer Esh Kodesh was very unique, because it was a Sefer that he wrote, and it was published after he passed away. You see, he buried the Sefer in Poland. I'm assuming in Warsaw. He was under German control, and he buried the manuscript with a letter saying, whoever finds this should please send it to my family in Tel Aviv, where his family lived, and with tefillos that hopefully Klal Yisrael should have a Yeshua, whatever it might be. The manuscript was found after he was killed. The Piasetzner Rebbe was killed in Treblinka. And after they found the manuscript, the Esh Kodesh was printed. The Esh Kodesh were the drushes that he said, were the things that he wrote during the Holocaust. So when you read it, it has these underpinnings. You feel a lot of the pain. The Esh Kodesh was in general very, very, the Piasetzna was very upbeat, and he was very very strong on that everyone has to try to be happy and try to, you know, to keep moving on, even though he himself lost many, many members of his family in the Holocaust. There was only one moment, there's a famous moment that he broke down during davening on Yom Noroim, because the Piasetzna, there are certain Nigunim, Piasetzna and Nigunim, and there was one very famous Nigun, and when he sang that Nigun in the Klois, so everyone would sing with him, and it was always like that was the big Nigun. You know? And here he is in Warsaw, and there's just like a couple of Yidden there in the Minyan, and they're singing the Nigun, and there's no one there to sing the Nigun. And that was like the one moment of weakness that the Piasetzna, the moment that he allowed himself, let me say better, he allowed himself to express his feelings of pain. But this Sefer Chovis HaTalmidim was before he passed away. It was written, he printed in his lifetime, and it's extremely, extremely well read. It's a Sefer that is used very, very commonly. The Sefer itself, the Piasetzna said that the Sefer is something that was a gift. He didn't feel like he was even worthy of writing the Sefer. The language of the Sefer is poetic. It's so beautiful. It just talks right to you. You feel like you connect with the Rebbe when you read the Sefer. And he was a man who was well before his time. The brilliance of the Sefer, many people extol the brilliance of this Sefer. Many great psychologists, I've quoted before, Rabbi Twersky and Rabbi Pelkowitz and other, the like really, you know, top class psychologists have said that this Sefer, as all modern psychology, is all here and way before his time. A lot of the things that he writes about, it's a Sefer that we could gain a tremendous amount from learning the Sefer Chovis HaTalmidim. I've learned it many, many times, and still every time I open it, I still get inspired. So we're in the middle of the fourth perek. Just give you those that are, you know, jumping in the middle. There's the old printing of the Sefer, which is the one that I usually I used to use. I'm slowly going to move over to the new one. And then there's the Feldheim printing, which most of us have. Now, there's a Yid in Chicago who also has a very strong feel for the Piasetzner Rebbe, Dr. Unger, and he has donated a Chovis HaTalmidim to the Bachrim. Anyone that would like his own, he would like to write in the Sefer, so then, by all means, you're welcome to have one if you don't know where they are. So you can just approach me, and we'll make sure that we can secure a Sefer for you. It's a Sefer that, mamish, you could take with you your whole life if you want. There's two parts to the Sefer. There's the beginning, Chovis HaTalmidim, and then there's the Maimarim in the end, which it gets into Kabbalah things about Shabbos, about Torah, about all different things. which is much, much, you know, on a much, much deeper level. This is really talking to us. It's really about talking to the students. It's a conversation with the students. Chovetz Talminim. That's what it's about. Just to give you an idea, Avraham Shor, Zolazayin Gezunt, Avraham Shor is a Rav in Flatbush, so he said that it should be an obligation of every parent and every mechanech to learn the at least the Akdama of Chovetz Talminim. This sefer is so critical to understand what education is about, and what he, the main idea which he gives forth up until now is that a person who is mechanech, the real mechanech is the person himself. Every person is really in charge of himself. He really has to be mechanech himself. There are people who can be there to kind of be coaches for him, can be guides for him. Listen, even the greatest singers, all have voice coaches. And even the greatest athletes all have coaches, because even a person who is exceptional at what he does needs a coach. So every person is really his own mechanech. It could be you need a coach to kind of just give you pointers, but at the end of the day, we're in charge and responsible for ourselves. There's a concept which is called empowerment. When you empower someone, you give him the feeling that he has a certain power to him. He has control. And that's what he's saying over here. Every person is his own mechanech. And we have to be mechanech ourselves, right? So then other people can try to help us, but at the end of the day, no one else can really do it for us. And no one else is responsible to do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. We have to find good coaches, right? We have to find good people, and we have to have the confidence to trust them. We have to have the smarts to trust them, right? If a person doesn't trust his coach, so then he's not going to get anywhere. Because very often a person can't see himself what he's doing. Even a person, however great he is, if it's an athlete, whatever it is, he doesn't see maybe that he's got a hitch in his swing. He can't see that because he's swinging, right? But a coach can tell him, listen, you got a hitch in your swing. I want you to have to adjust it a little bit. A person has to position yourself differently, whatever it might be. Everyone needs a coach. Right? We have to have the smarts. We have to be bright enough, wise enough to find a coach, someone that we know knows what he's talking about, hopefully, and then trust him to give him pointers. So the Rebbe is giving us pointers right now. The Rebbe wants to be our coach. And he's talking about, at this moment, in this page that we're up to, Mem Aleph in the new printing, is in the middle of the fourth parak, he's speaking about machalos ha'atzlus v'esrapis v'trufaisan, which is, there's a machala. We can call it a sickness, you could call it a disease, you could call it just an affliction. It's something called atzlus. Atzlus is a person who's lazy. There's something called the machalos ha'atzlus. There's people, by the way, that are by nature lazy. Some people are by nature lazy people, but it's a machala. It's something that it kind of hampers a person from being productive, because he just doesn't have the strength to do it. And then there's something called hisrapus. Hisrapus is a little bit different. He's going to say it's a lower degree of the same type of thing. It's also something that's a problem. In a certain way, he's going to say it's an even bigger problem. We're going to call it lackluster. There's people that they're doing it. They do things, but they don't do it. They don't look like they have excitement to them. They don't have energy. They're not doing things with life. Right? That's called hisrapus. So these are things that he wants to discuss here. And now he's going to discuss trufaisan, which is how to heal them. What is the antidote? The trufa is the medicine, in order to heal yourself of this type of problem. So we're in the middle right now of this parak. I just want to go over just a teeny touch of what he was talking about up until now. He was trying to give a person who is lazy, he's trying to give him a little bit of a masushmas. And he says, look, he says, everyone does their job in this world. Everyone's working. Everyone's sweating. Why do you think that you don't have to do that? Why do you think that you don't have to work hard? Why do you think you can take easy street? Who are you to do that? The only one that doesn't work hard is the chayes ha-tarfus, which is the animals that are destructive, dangerous animals. Animals that like to kill. Right? All the other animals all work, but you see the lazy animals are like the crocodile and the lions. Those are all the lazy ones. Right? The ones that all they do is like they're predators. But people that are productive, cows, right, and birds, they're on the move. The things that are, they're constantly moving. Everyone's doing something. The sun's rising and setting. The moon is doing its job. Everyone's doing their job. So why do you think that you don't have to do something? Why do you think that you could just sit there and do absolutely nothing? Doesn't make any sense. Now, He's going to continue on. He said a little bit more, but I'd just like to stop there for now. Kol avoida lefi erech hadavar hanikna nimdedes. Now, Rabbi Isai, just to tell you beforehand, person technically can listen. The words are so beautiful, and I'm trying to like stay as faithful to the text as I can. And you can just sit here and listen if you want, and that'll be fine. However, it's definitely more, you'd enhance tremendously if you'd have a sefer in front of you, and you could actually read from the sefer. Now, if you're lazy, so then you should be listening anyway, because we're talking about being lazy. But, you know, technically you're going to gain a lot more from having the sefer in front of you, seeing the language and understanding it, and just also from always reading Hebrew, translating into English is something we can gain from. But especially over here, seeing the beautiful language of the Piasetzna, page Memhei in the old printing. You're in the old printing? Mem Aleph. You got an old? Yeah. You got a classic. You can talk to me afterwards. I might buy it off you. It's an antique. Okay, it's Mem Aleph in the new printing, in the Feldheim printing. Recently, the Piasetzna Sefer became very popular. They reprinted it in English, Feldheim, and they did a very nice job in it. It was originally printed in English, translated by Aronson Publishing House. They went out of business now. Feldheim is now publishing it, and the Sefer is learnt in many, many yeshivas across the world, many yeshivas. Learn the Sefer as like standard part of the Seder Hayom, and we're one of them. We're doing it also. So here we are. Kol avoida lefi erech hadavar hanikna nimdedes. Kol avoida, which means any work that's done. Kifi erech hadavar hanikna nimdedes. According to the value or the worth of what is being acquired is how it will be measured. What does he mean? He means as follows. Dvarim zoylim v'shtusim. You have things that are cheap and that are like, they're irrelevant, they're shtusim. Silliness. Kimat l'bili avoy da niknim. You can get them like nothing. Like, you know, sun, what are those flowers called? Dandelions? Is that what they're called? The ones that grow all over the place? And one of the ones that you could blow? Those are dandelions? Yeah, they're very, very easy to grow. As a matter of fact, we try not to grow them and they grow anyway. Right? People don't want them. They're very, very easy. Kimat b'li avoy da niknim. It's like nothing. You know what I mean? You can ignore them, nothing, and they're fine. Dvarim yikarim mehem, but things that are more precious. Biyoyser avoida koinemoysam. Person wants to grow something like a pretty flower, so then it's a little bit more complicated. You know, you have to plant it, you have to water it. You know, if you're from LA, you have to talk to your flowers. You know, you have to build, you have to take care of them. Vililmoid toira ulechasai spitel kachai, to learn toira and to be able to bask in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glow and His shade, rak ba'avoyda kasha yecholim lagi. That takes hard work. A person wants to grow, it's a beautiful flower, right? The orchid is a very, very beautiful flower. It's very hard. You have to use filtered water. It has to be like very, can't even have regular water. Grow an orchid, it's very, very touching, just the right amount of water and just the right time and the right temperature and the right everything. That's the most expensive flower. It's the most beautiful. The most beautiful thing that we could possibly have is Torah. So he says, listen, I want to tell you something. Torah is going to be hard work. It's going to be hard work. Lilma Torah. Ulechasas v'tzel kocho rak b'avoy d'kosha yuchom lagi. It's going to be hard work. I don't mean to say it's going to be too hard for you. It's not going to be something that you can't possibly bear. It's not avoid the kasha ugdoila min hayecholus, more than you're capable of. Ki Hashem yisbarach loy nasan lanu avoida lemaila mikoycheisenu v'yecholteinu. Hashem never gave us anything that's too difficult for us. That's above our yecholus, above our koyches, and that is a lesson from this week's parsha. Rabbi said, ki seitzei lamolchama aloy. Now, when a person is going out to war and he captures a prisoner of war, and that prisoner of war is an Eishes Yifas Toyer, and a person wants, he desires this woman, we allow him to marry her. Why do we allow him to? We allow him to, why? She's a guy. Why do we allow him to marry her? Says Rashi, lo dibra Torah, Ella, Keneged Hayetzer. which means Pashup Shad is that because we realize a man when he's at war is very, he's weak, he's vulnerable, he's needy, better said needy. When you're at war, a person can't withstand this taiva. So we allow him to do this in order, because, you know, that's Kodesh Baruch Hu realizes this is something that you cannot overcome. This nisayon you can't do. Therefore, Hashem says, mutter. But I want to tell you something. Why is Hashem telling you this? Because He's telling you that everything else in this Torah you can do. This you can't, so I'm being mutter it. That's why Hashem's saying this is mutter. And every other thing that Hashem says, we are capable of. There is no such thing as a challenge that we cannot overcome. Because Baruch Hu doesn't give us that. So you tell me Torah is hard, learning is hard, it's difficult. You're right, it's difficult. But you can do it. If you really wanted to do it. Sometimes, yeah, but it's really hard. You're right. It could be that hard that it's like, almost can't do it. That means you're going to have to really work a lot. That's what he's saying. That's what Torah is. A person has to strengthen himself. He has to be firm. He has to. Don't work only when it's like when it's coming your way. You know, I work when you know I have my hours. You know, whenever it comes to me, so that's when I'm working. That's not going to do it. You have to be a hard-working person. That means it has to define who you are. He's going to go into this right now. There are people that they know how to work when they have to. They'd much prefer not to. So whenever they get a chance to like get out of it, they do. And then there's people that they're hard workers. That defines who they are. He's not a person who is lackluster or is not looking for work. Any person who is like lazy in his work, he's like lackadaisical is the right word. He's a brother to the destructive one. I'm not destroying, I'm doing my job. Ha'otzel, someone who's lazy, he doesn't want to work at all. The Otzel doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to lift a pinky. He himself is a very destructive person. Like we saw before, he's like a crocodile or like a lion. Like those animals, they don't want to do anything. All they want to do is kill something and eat it. That's it. No, they're not interested in working. So that's him. I'm Isrape. Now this is a person who he's working, but he doesn't want to work. And he's lazy. He's lackadaisical. He said, does it, but he does it not. With, doesn't do it with any type of energy. He works when something comes in front of him. But it doesn't, he himself, it's not a person. He's not a hard-working person. He could work every once in a while. Doesn't define him. When he's working, he's like falling asleep. You know, it takes much longer than it should. Without necessary, he only wants to do it superficially. Just wants to like be yitzer zayin. He just wants to get it over with. That's it. He's not really interested in working. He's not going to, you know, to put everything into it. He's not going to be mimic. He's not going to do something with diligence. One of the things, there's something called basic training. Basic training is, I guess, boot camp is another word for it. Basic training is when they try to break people into the army. So I once went to a basic training camp, to a basis, to a base. It's mamish in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if any of you were with me when I went there. The middle of nowhere. There's no running water. There's no electricity. They shower on weekends if they go away for weekends. If not, there's nothing to shower with. You know what I mean? There's nothing, it's mamish, there's one big tent, they all sleep under the tent together, right? With their bags under their beds, it's like they got no clothing, they got no privacy, they got no nothing. They're working day and night, all they do is they... Why do they do that? Why is it that when in like in a bathroom in the army, it has to be like sparkling, spanking clean, right? And they come in and they check it to make sure that there's not like even like a speck of dirt on the floor. Why do they... Because they want... They want to teach a person how to work hard. What they're trying to do is they're trying to. If a person wants to be in an army, you have to teach you how to work hard. You have 7 minutes from wake up to make your bed, to brush your teeth, to go to the bathroom, and to be at lineup. And if you're not there in 7 minutes, then you're punished. During lineup, person is not allowed to talk, not even say one word. Person says a word during lineup, he's docked. They teach them diligence. They teach them a person to work. Because they're trying to teach a person, you have to learn how to be a hard worker. Because a lot of times, there's situations when it needs that. So a person has to learn how to work hard. Elul, I think, is boot camp for us in a certain way. We don't demand it of people the same way, but we should demand it of ourselves. It's the hardest time. We have to start work hard now. This is basic training for us. When a person has to teach himself, not to just like, you know, okay, I did it, I finished the Amud, I'm done. It's like, what do you mean? But just, there's more work to do. Yeah, but I'm finished. I'm Yoitza, you know. Did you put in every ounce of energy that you can? Do you know perfectly? Can you do it again? Can you say it over again? Do you know it? Did you do it 20 times yet? No, but I did it. It's not enough. A hardworking person is nachamo and nachamo. Tell you, there's two brilliant people. Two brilliant people. One, his name was Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. The other one's name was Reb Yisrael Zev Guzman. They were chavrusas when they were bachrim. They were bachrim in Grodno. And then they went on their different ways. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz ended up married the daughter of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, and he became the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. Reb Yisrael Zev Guzman ended up opening his own yeshiva. And I'm talking about when they're late in their lives, they were chavrusas again. They were chavrusas here in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh. Reb Guzman's yeshiva is Netzach Yisrael is in Rechavia, and Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's yeshiva is around the corner. They were chavrusas at night. They learned from 12 to 2. They learned Yerushalmi together. I've said this story over before. From 12 to 2, they learned Yerushalmi together. Good. These are talking about brilliant people, super brilliant people. Phenomenally brilliant. Just try to open their sefer and try to like, it's like, it's unbelievable. They were famous for their brilliance. I'll give you an example. Rav Guzman, 16 years old. Rav Guzman sat on Rav Chaim Oizer's Bezdin. He was 16 years old. He was sitting on the Bezdin of the Gadol Hadar. At 16 years old. At 18, the Chavetz Chaim stood up for him. You know what I'm talking about over here? This is talking about someone. This is like super brilliant. We can't even imagine. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was also famous. Reb Nochum Petzavitz was Rashi Vadimir. I said, my father was the epitome of Eloi. He was like, it was Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. They learned together Yerushalmi from 12 to 2 at night. Anyway, it was a very complicated Yerushalmi that they were learning. And it was a back and forth with many different answers. I think it was 10 answers to the same kasha. They had a kasha, and they had all different types of different. Anyway, they came the next night. And the next night, they go over to Chazer, and Rav Guzman remembers all 10 answers. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, how did you remember all the 10? Why don't I remember all the answers? He says, I'll tell you why. Because they were learning in the Mir at the time. So when I went back from the Mir to Rechavia, I Chazered the whole time. I was walking back. He walked home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was Chazering the Yerushalmi, Baal Peh. So therefore, I Chazered and Chazered and Chazered. So you know, by the time I got home, but the next night, I still remembered. It's fresh. But you probably went to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. So that's why I remember Yudon. So you're talking about the brilliant people, brilliant minds. And what are they doing? They're working 2 o'clock in the morning. He's still pushing and he's chazering and everything. But he did it already. And he's brilliant. But that's not enough because he's a hardworking person. We have to be hardworking people. It's not enough to just say, okay, I covered, you know, the whatever you expected of me. Let's do this again. Let's understand it better. Let's write it over. Let's go through it outside. I'll say it. You say it. Let's keep on working more and doing more. Let's add another Seder to our day. That's a person who's already a hardworking person. So what are we saying? So a person is not that way. He's marach balaloi tzairich. So it takes him way too long to do things that it shouldn't take that long. Roi tzirach b'shitchis. He only wants externals. He wants to do things on. V'hachoritz shu be'atzmo ish oivet. A person who's diligent, who is himself, he defines himself as a working person. Mevakesh hu es avoida. He's looking for something to do. Give me a challenge. Yeah, give me something that I could test me on something. He's looking for it. He can't go but. I have a friend. When I grew up, in a small, cute little town called Teaneck, New Jersey. So I had a friend from Teaneck, New Jersey. His name was Mickey Goldschmidt. And Mickey and I actually went to elementary school together. Anyway, Mickey got married when he was engaged, when he was much, much older. Engaged and married. And Mickey got engaged. It was a big simcha. He was probably around 30 years old, 31. The day after he got engaged, so I wanted to wish him mazel tov. I thought, well, and Mickey went to climb Mount Everest. Mickey's a really interesting, he's an interesting guy, right? So Mickey, is the day after he got engaged, he told her, I gotta go. He was like, been playing this for a long time. Mickey's going to climb a house. And I was thinking about this whole thing. Think about this for a second. People pay thousands of dollars. You gotta fly to Everest, you need guides, you need, you know, thousands of dollars they're paying. And they're leaving very important times of their life. They're carving out weeks of their lives. It doesn't take a day to climb Mount Everest. So they're carving out and they're practicing and they're paying thousands of dollars and they're risking their lives. It's very dangerous. And when they're there, they eat like tuna out of a can. You know what I mean? They barely have a hot meal, and if it is, it's just canned food. They have nothing to eat. They're freezing. They're tired. They're everything. Why? Because they want a challenge. That's why. For what? For nothing. What do you get when you get to the top? You don't even get a medal. You don't get anything. Right? So it's just because I need a challenge. I want to do something. Now we have over here, we have eternity, nitzchius. We have the most important possible thing in the world that someone can do. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. This is everything. We've got it all in our hands. We have a challenge that is so meaningful, David HaMelech. Toivli Torah Espicha. Me'al Feizam V'chesef. We're going to become millionaires. We're going to become, this is everything. It's here in front of us. And we have a challenge. Ksubis. Massive challenge. Big challenge. Over 100 plot. But not just to do it like, you know, to turn the pages. To do it and do it again and again. 5 times Ksubis. That's a challenge. What do you walk away with? Much more than a medal. Olam Haba. You walk away with a changed person. You walk away feeling good about yourself. You walk away when you're real. You walk away that this is who I want to be. The question is, are we ready for a challenge? Are we ready to challenge ourselves? So this is going to be rough, because there's going to be days when I'm not in the mood, and there's going to be sugyas that are just not easy for me, and it's not going in. There's going to be times when it's just not, it's not like easy to learn right now because other people are busy with other things. But are you ready to take that challenge and make Ksubis your Everest? Because that's what it is. If a person does that, he's Ef Shelo Leches Batel. He doesn't want to just coast through the year and just say, I did it. If for whatever reason, by accident, he couldn't even, he was like, it was just, he was an oinus. And there was a few hours that he wasn't productive. And for sure, if it's an entire day, b'li avoida, he goes a day without doing avoida. He's disgusted at himself. He just doesn't feel good about himself. And he sees himself and says, what's going to be with me? What a waste of my life. You know, every single minute you're living, you're dying, and you're never going to get that minute back. And when you're 60 years old, you're going to say, I can't believe when I was 18, I was so stupid. Because I don't feel like I did enough with my life. And I wasted that time. Time is so precious. And a person feels like, how did I waste that? How did I lose that? I want to be productive. Was I think for a moment about Avram Avinu. Think about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was 100 years old. Okay? 99. He just did a bris milah on himself. It's boiling hot outside. I mean, just, would you stay in bed and just relax a little bit so you could recuperate? What's he doing? He wants to do chesed. He wants to, he's sitting there, he's waiting, he's looking. You know, where the orchim? There's no orchim. Come on, relax a little bit, buddy. Take it easy. Give yourself a week, you know, vacation or something. He doesn't, because I don't even know who wants, he's a doer. He wants to do. He's like, what do you mean? I only have limited time on this earth. I want to accomplish. I have a mission. I have purpose. If a person feels that he has purpose, suddenly he doesn't have time to waste. He doesn't have time to kill. Avoida hi chiyusai v'ta'anugai. Avoida, work, is his life. It gives him life, and it's what he enjoys. We spoke about working hard, and people think, working hard, learning is going to be such a drag. It's like, I just don't enjoy it. It's such hard work. You know something? You can work hard, you could enjoy it. It could be ta'anugai. It could be his enjoyment. The hard work itself. So many people enjoy working hard. You just have to have the right taste for it. So many people are like busy in gyms. It's a $1 billion industry. You know, getting people gyms and getting them fit, and they drink these protein things, and they got to be on this whole diet, and they got to do this and got to do that. Why? You're working so hard. What do you got to lift? You just lift weight. What for? What's the point? Up, down, up, down. One more, and then they scream, what are you doing? Why? What do you have to lift it for? Just go easy on yourself. Because people appreciate hard work sometimes. Sometimes people, they enjoy that. We can embrace that. Sometimes people have a certain, a negative association with certain things. Sometimes people don't know how to appreciate, you know, making the base medrash your gym. Kind of. Don't appreciate how to do that. In other words, this is the place where you're working out and you're working hard. I once had a chavrusa. He's an amazing guy. He's a balabas. I learned with him for an elul in the mirror. And he came for El. Yeah, I have a Balabas that comes and learns with me El. Now, as a Burma, it's a different story. It's a different Balabas, young guy. He's a day trader. Day traders are like, you know, multitask very quickly, and you know, and it, focus was not necessarily his strong point. So he had this really long Tosfos. And it was like, whoa, it was hard for him. And he's sitting there, he's trying to get the Tosfos. In the Mir Beis Medrash in the front, on the right, the same bench as Rav Nachman Lubavitch. And he was so frustrated, he screamed, like in the middle of his, like almost jumped, like, what's going on? He's like, this is so hard for me. But he wanted to do it. This is what he wanted to do. And sometimes we, you know, if we do that when we're working out. So let's teach ourselves to try to make this our workout and embrace it. And it's a tanug, it's our enjoyment. It's what we do being a star. You know what I mean? That's what we do. We hang out in the gym, right? So this is our gym. This is where we're working out. This is what we're enjoying. He's not going to enjoy it. I'm doing right now physical therapy for my ankle and for my shoulder. So I'm doing reps with 1 pound weights. So last night my wife was like, this is 1 pound. I was like, well, I'm doing, you know, that's what the guy told me to do, 1 pound. I got issues. Anyway, none of you are going to be like happy doing 1 pound reps, you know what I mean? Nebuch, that's where I'm at right now. What could I do? But your person he's not happy, he doesn't enjoy that. He wants a challenge. He doesn't want to do like a small masechta. Like, you know, let's do makas again. You know, we did that already. Come on, bring it on. Let's bring me a big one. Bring me ksubis. That's big time. We're ready. We're ready for heavyweight. Ksubis is shas cutting. You know what I mean? This is the real deal. We're in. This is difficult work. But we're ready for it. Shitchiyus lo yishkatas nafsho hasha'efes lavo. And if he's just doing like the easy stuff, he's not going to be happy with that. Zoriz v'oived sameach umamik. He's going to be zoriz. He's going to work. He's going to be happy. And he's going to dig deep into the masechta. Kizerem mayim asher bi'ikuvoi misrages. It's like a rushing current. Asher bi'ikuvoi, if anything tries to stop it, misrages, so then it starts getting raging. It starts kilo, it gets angry. It gets stronger and stronger. Lishbar v'lishtav. It's going to knock over anything that's in its path. Ken gamhu, so to him. Al kol mania, anything that gets in your way to get what you want to accomplish, to reach where you want to reach, to become who you want to become. Rak eshifus amargis lishtef alad. Person's got to push himself through it. He's got to get over it. Don't back down. Person that really wants is like a rushing current. Nothing's going to stop us. We're going to do this. Beis Hashem, let's see after the Shema. We'll continue.